You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Jay Horowitz with the latest edition of the Amazing Mental Unlike podcast with my old friend, Mr. Mike Piazza. Mike, we're making history now. This is the first transcontinental alumni Zoom call. Are you happy to be part of Mets history?
Yeah, this is historic. It is good to be part of Mets history. I've been happy to find out there's a lot of Mets fans here in Europe. So it's good news. We're just spreading the good news of the Mets around the world. So it's all
Mike, how long have you been in Italy? I know you've been back and forth. How long have you basically been in Italy now?
Yeah, I put my children in school here about 3 years ago. So it's been definitely an interesting year. Last year, obviously, was very difficult with the pandemic, traveling and whatnot. But as you well know, I come from an entrepreneurial family. So we're still in the car business in Philly. So anybody needs a car, come down and see us. I get back there next week for some meetings to see my brothers and see my dad for Father's Day, which will be pretty cool as well.
Yeah. Speaking of your dad, Vince has been a close friend for a long time. How is he feeling, Mike? I know we had an episode a couple of years ago. How is he feeling?
Yeah, he's hanging in there. I mean, he's life for him isn't that easy nowadays, but we're blessed to have really good help for him. We have two really nice ladies who help him pretty much the whole day. He likes to get out and take his rides. I mean, he's hanging in there. It's tough for him because he's slowed down a lot. But, you know, we still have him, and we still have days where he kind of sits around and remember the good times and things like that. So that's all you can ask for. I mean, I tell people all the time, enjoy your parents while you have them, and they're obviously not going to be around forever.
Mike, Father's Day is special. You know, you have three young kids, and your dad. What did your dad mean to your career from the beginning on?
Well, my situation may be a little different than most kids. I would probably classify him as a little bit of that overzealous dad that obviously was very much involved in my career. But the positive was, no question, he believed in me a lot. I mean, he knew at a young age that I had the potential to be a major league player. And even though it was a bumpy road at times, he never relinquished his support and trying to find avenues for me to develop my talent. Obviously, the story I'm sure people are familiar with Tommy and when I signed with the Dodgers and going through the minor league system there, there's obviously politics in every business. And there was some setbacks, but I tell people all the time, if you don't have difficulties in whatever your venture is, you're not going to appreciate the success. So it wasn't an easy road, but it made me, the failures and the frustrations you have will prepare you for success, will allow you to handle success better, and will allow you to grow more.
Mike, tell me, maybe I'm screwing it up, but tell me the Joe Ferguson story. You were in Philadelphia. He worked you out as a catcher. You had been playing a little bit first base, and your dad went to Tommy, and Joe said to Tommy, he can make it as a catcher. And then Tommy, called the Dodgers and asked him to draft you. Is that semi-correct or not correct?
Yeah, well, Joe Ferguson, as people may remember him as being the catcher when Hank Aaron hit the record home run against the Dodgers, I think it was 74, if I'm correct. And Joe was an outfielder, converted outfielder, who became a catcher from the University of Pacific. He's from the Bay Area. And Joe had a large body type like me. Most catchers are, I wouldn't say most, but traditionally catchers have a little bit of a stockier build than I had. So I think we needed his expertise to kind of say, or at least hatch the idea of, could I do it as a catcher? And Joe worked me out in spring training in 88. And then the Dodgers were about 2 weeks before the draft in May, I believe, in Philadelphia. And he worked me out behind the plate. And he went to Tommy and said, he can catch. He said, there's no problem. He's going to catch. He's got a good arm. Obviously, I could hit. I could swing the bat. But I had good hands. I went down, caught in the bullpen a little bit. He hit me some pop-ups. And, you know, he was very just matter-of-factly about it. He was just like, oh, yeah, he can catch. And that's when the Dodgers then decided to draft me.
Did you look back, you know, 62nd round, 1390 player, 1390 players taking the draft. You know, I know your story a million times. Did you go back, look at it? It's kind of really an amazing story from where you came from to where you are now, no?
Well, yeah, it's true. I don't know, because I think now maybe there's so much more data on players and there's so much more information. It is probably a little more difficult for guys to slip through the cracks, I guess, so to speak. But I mean, I've said this many times before. I don't know how many people are familiar with my history and growing up in Pennsylvania. I mean, there was some scouting reports on me. I mean, scouts did watch me play. I mean, they were aware of me. They knew I could swing the bat a little bit. They just were a little bit hesitant of my body type because I was a late bloomer. I was very slow at foot. And they didn't know what my true position would be. So I think once we drilled down and then we decided that I would try to catch, then that kind of opened my whole world up in a way. I could always swing the bat a little bit. I mean, there's reports out there in certain books that some of the scouts in Pennsylvania were like, oh, this guy swings the bat as well as anybody, but they just didn't know where I was going to play. And so maybe the legend, I guess, so to speak, isn't as, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's not so much if I just came out of nowhere. I mean, I was a pretty decent player in high school and in college. But with that said, there was a concerted effort to get me behind the plate. And that whole idea was probably the most interesting part of the whole story.
Well, Mike, I read someplace your dad wanted to be a player himself, and he kind of gave it up when he was about 15 to 16 to take care of the family and do some other, I mean, is that true? Is that, remember that?
Yeah, my dad was a psycho fan, just loved baseball. I mean, he loved the game. He couldn't play himself. I think he told me he was a left-handed second baseman, and he was drafted, I think, in the Army for Korea, and just had to work and realized that he could never play. And that's the sort of the interesting thing about him and Tommy. Tommy did go play and my dad had to go work. And so they always kept reconnected in the winter when Tommy would come home to Norristown, PA, and for the off season and holidays and things like that. And they remained very close. And that relationship, I think, also really kept alive the fire that my dad had for baseball. I mean, I think 75, 76, he got season tickets for the Phillies. And I remember days after school, and I said this story before, he would grab me like, hey, Seaver's pitching tonight against the Phils. Let's go. You know, John Matlock's pitching. I mean, a little later in the, when John, because he was from Westchester, PA, and obviously all the other, John Candelaria, you know, the Pirates teams. I remember the Pirates teams with all their different uniforms. And he actually was also very friendly with Chuck Tanner as well. So when Chuck Tanner was managing the Pirates, we would go to the games. So the point is, yes, he was psycho fan. We went to many games and I got in a lot of trouble with my mom because many times it was on school nights. She wasn't happy about it.
Mike, you've been on the cover of a million magazines. And let me tell you what Tom Seaver's story. I stayed in touch with Tom after retiring. He was on a million covers. And the one thing he got most excited about when he put on the cover of Wine Country. And I recently, you've been on a cover of Cigar and Spirits magazine. I know that meant a lot to you. Talk about your true, Mike Piazza, true vodka that you
happened to. Yeah. Well, I was lucky. I met a really nice guy from Brooklyn who decided to do an Italian bespoke vodka. And I mean, I always tell people, drink responsibly, of course, but I enjoy, look, I mean, I think in your later years, there's nothing wrong with moderation. I enjoy a few cigars every now and then and a few spirits late night, responsibly, of course. But for me, you know, living in Italy has been an interesting experience, and I've decided now to kind of put my toe in the water and sort of developing a small collection of food and beverages, and obviously there's wine over here, but the vodka thing was very interesting because I thought it was a really cool concept, and I always felt Italians, have a certain amount of craftsmanship, you know, the way they make suits and cars and various, obviously food and wine is without saying, but so it was fun. And he said, hey, you know, I'd love to have you in the company and grow the company. So we partnered up and it's been great so far. Obviously COVID's been tough in the restaurant business, but we got some cool things going on and that was fun. And the one I always like is I think going back to Tom is I think baseball is kind of what we did. It's really not who we were, who we are. And I think you can't play forever and you have to kind of redefine yourself during your life a few times. So this is part of that.
Well, what's the official name of the vodka, Mike?
It's called True.
True
and vodka, yeah.
And it's going to be, you have a club at Citi Field.
Mike,
31 club.
It kind of leaked out. We were going to try to do a special surprise thing, but the pandemic obviously has screwed a lot of things up. But I think when we get 50% capacity in the stadium, which is coming soon, we'll open the club and it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's funny. I got to tell you this, Jay. I mean, I really, the fan support I've gotten from the Mets fans throughout my retirement and the Hall of Fame and retiring the number has been amazing. So I think you know me well enough. I'll always love the game, but now it's always fun to watch the game and just sit back and enjoy the game with fans and sponsors and the things that I do with the team. So this club will be really cool for that. We're going to have contests and giveaways and things like that. So I think the fans are really going to enjoy it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mike, the other thing which you've got and great, you've been coaching the national team for the last couple of years. I mean, what's your commitment with that, Mike?
Well, right now I'm the national team head coach and head manager. It's been a process. It's been tough. Obviously last year, there wasn't anything going on with the pandemic and then they pushed the classic back, I believe till 23, the World Baseball Classic. But there's a European Championship in September. And as I think I mentioned to you earlier that Bruce Bochy, I think will be coaching the French team. So that'll be fun to see Bochy again. But it's going to be a pretty interesting tournament. I mean, there's going to be 14 teams, and obviously there's some teams better than others. You know, there's teams that aren't great, but there's teams that are pretty good, like Spain has guys from Venezuela. Dutch team has guys from Curaçao and the French Antilles and in the Caribbean. So it's going to be fun. I mean, it's challenging because, I mean, literally I looked at a paper yesterday. I didn't know hardly any of the guys, but I'm going to be going around this whole summer scouting and doing some workouts, and we'll be ready. You know, we'll have a team. Hopefully, we'll do the results will be good.
Mike, I know you've always been a big history guy, and I know I read that your wife went to an American cemetery in Florence on Memorial Day. That had to be a pretty moving experience for you, huh?
No, that was really special. And as I said in my social media posts, that we owe so much to these guys, and in that particular cemetery is in Florence, and it was probably the last year of the war. Most of those guys that were kind of chasing the last remnants of the Wehrmacht in the north of Italy, kind of flushing them out. And so they were undertaking a lot of dangerous mountain operations. And a lot of these guys, you know, they left their families at a young age, some of them teenagers, and fought for our freedom. And they're laid to rest there in Florence. And I tell people all the time, obviously people know Normandy from D-Day. There's a cemetery there, but go on I think it's the U.S. Monuments Commission, and they have all the cemeteries throughout the world. You'd be surprised where they are actually. There's actually one in Mexico City from the Mexican War in the 1840s. Wow. There's guys laid to rest there. So I tell people, you know, when you start coming back to Europe and you're enjoying your vacation, there's one down close to Rome and you're eating your pasta and going to museums. You know, take a few hours and go see these guys. I mean, I'm sure they would appreciate it. I'm sure they're with us in spirit. And just tell them thank you for helping our country and keeping us free. So it's an endeavor that's very close to my heart, and I'm just happy to spread the word about it.
Mike, I know you were in camp for a little bit in the spring. Is it hard keeping track of the Mets from Italy? I mean, how do you go about that? How do you follow the team? And I know you're very close to a lot of the guys there. And how do you keep track of things?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to things coming back to normal. I kind of want to reconnect a little bit more. It just this whole year obviously put everyone on the defensive. It was really tough to get into a routine. But I love my job with the Mets. I love coming back and seeing the fans and doing community outreach and the things that I do, seeing you and everyone back at the stadium. So we have some things coming up this summer. I'm sure you're going to touch on those with all the fans, that they're going to be a lot of fun since things are getting back to normal, which is great. I'm excited. But, you know, I love my role with the team. I have nothing but amazing response when I come back and do the things that we do. You know, the Mets Heritage site, MetsHeritage.com, which I was instrumental in the Mets sort of organizing our history, putting in perspective all the equipment and souvenirs and the collectors that helped us build the history, the story of the team has been incredible. So that's something that's close to my heart, and I'll always enjoy coming back and working on that.
Mike, I don't know if you read, you know, one of your former managers is running for mayor of Stamford, Connecticut. and I told him I was going to speak. He says, well, Mike comes back, he's got to come campaign for me. What do you think of Bobby V as the mayor of Stamford?
Well, I haven't seen his platform yet, but I'm sure he's you know, he's going to be a pro business guy and help be real positive in the community. Yeah, Bobby's a personality. Actually, I think he's great for politics. I mean, I think he has that type of personality. You know, if you're a friend of mine, I'm going to get behind you. That's what friendship's all about.
Yeah. Mike, I know a couple last questions. September 11th, I know you're going to be there, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. You know, I've been with the Mets a long time, and you know, I was fortunate enough to get a ring in 86. For me, the highlight of my stay with the Mets is what that 2001 team did to help the city heal. I mean, the ring was great, the World Series was great, but to have a lasting imprint, I mean, you were a big part of it with your home run, of course, but looking back at the time after the attacks, what we did going down to Ground Zero, to the hospital, to the firemen, I mean, that was something I'll never forget and always treasure.
I mean, it's going to be difficult, to be honest with you. I mean, I know people are looking forward to commemorating the event in a solemn way. But as you probably well know, it's not going to be easy for us. I mean, it's going to be difficult. There are still some wounds there. But I believe many times, as I've said many times, that we have to keep their memory alive. We have to never forget, their sacrifice. And, as you mentioned, I think, the way the team really, wanted to try to help people and authentically, organically reach out and get involved. And I mean, you were in that meeting in the clubhouse when we got back from Pittsburgh, and right. You know, it was very difficult to watch Mr. Doubleday and Mr. Wilpon. I mean, they were obviously broken up. They lost many friends on September 11th. And they were very much like, look, guys, you know, you can be as involved as you want, or you don't have to be involved. There was no pressure. I think everyone did it from their heart because no question. It was the right thing to do. It was just something that the fans support us, the community supports us. So we want to support the community. And especially at a time of complete distress like that, it was something that it was the least we could do.
Mike, if you had to guess, how many times did you see films of your home run?
I'll be honest with you, it's tough for me to watch at times because, again, I don't want to sort of put myself there that, I mean, look, I know people hold that home run in a high regard, and I'm honored with that. But it's tough when people say that, you know, you're a hero and it was a heroic act. I mean, I was in the right place at the right time. I had a lot of people pulling for me, praying for me, and I could feel that. And my faith in God helped me through that week, through that night. You know, I was in the right place at the right time, and I just believed in myself. And that was one thing that. It was one of my gifts, I think. You know, we've talked about this before, that I had this innate sort of internal feeling that I wanted to be the guy up there when the game was on the line. I felt like that was my job. I never shied away from that. So when I teach young guys or I coach, I go, hey, you want to be that guy up there with the game on the line. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about.
I'm not going to say I predict you would hit a home run, but I was sitting in the press box. And I think we had a runner on second. Fonzie walked. And who pinch ran from? I forget. With a pinch runner at second base. And I said to, you know, Shannon, the late Shannon, who was sitting next to me, he said, I don't know what's going to happen. He's going to do something. You know, I'm not going to say he can hit a home run. But I just had the feeling you came up to bat, like all the big home runs you hit, that you had to feel you were going to do something, and it turned out to be, you know, more than something. But it was something we'll never forget. Hey, Mike, before I let you go, I always wanted to ask somebody who lives in Italy, which is better, Chicago pizza or Italy pizza?
Okay, I've got in trouble before with my criticisms of pizza. You know, I made fun of St. Louis pizza in an article when I was over here, and people like took real offense to it. So, with that being said, personally, I was never a big fan of a Chicago deep dish pizza. That's not really pizza to me. It's just kind of like a variation. They have a little bit of a variation like that over here, a little bit of a thicker. But the true pizza from Naples, Napoletan, and Neapolitan style pizza is about this big, just Santa Margherita, which is just buffalo mozzarella, the San Marzano tomatoes, and the bread has to be very, not too crispy. I've seen the coal-fired people that kind of overdo it. I'm not a big fan of that. But once you live in Italy here, these people are passionate about food. So, to answer your question in a long-winded way, I like standard Neapolitan style pizza from Naples, maybe a little prosciutto cotto on there, which means cooked ham. Maybe I like mushrooms. Some people don't like mushrooms, but it's all personal. You could add pretty much anything you want except pineapple.
That's not good.
It's not a good thing. The Italians here, they just go, that's not pizza. That's like another creation.
Mike, I just wanted to, before we go, I wanted to take two quick stories about my relationship with your father. I remember every time he used to come to Philadelphia, all the guys in the team loved to see him, because Vince would come with about 30 different Italian heroes, meatballs, veal parmesan, sausage sandwich, and they would love to see old Vince walk into the locker room and drop all the sausage sandwiches on the middle table. Remember those days, Mike?
I do. I remember going down to the game and we would hit Tony Luke's or Gino's or the other establishments and bring in the cheesecakes, the cheesecakes for that matter too, but also the cheese steaks, the hoagies, the oven grinders, we used to call them, which are like the baked hoagies. And the guys loved them. And my dad loved doing that. I mean, he knew when he walked in, everyone was like, where's the sandwiches? So he really enjoyed that. And, yeah, he was a lot of fun, man. We had so much fun in the clubhouse, and he really loved the game so much. And Jay, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm telling you from my heart, I really appreciate the kindness that you guys showed him. And, you know, obviously Steve and our general managers were just really gracious to him. And I know things have changed a little bit, but, you know, I don't want to be like that guy's like back when I played, but you know, it was a lot different there. It was a lot more fun. It was a lot more loosey-goosey.
He would help me out another way, Mike. You know, we mentioned the car thing. You know, a lot of times the stars on the team were the only guys who got cars. And I would go to Vince more than one occasion, maybe like the 24th or 25th guy the team needed a car, had no connection. Vince would help me out, no questions asked. Just keep it between me and him, and he helped make my job easier. Because I always wanted to take care of everybody's team. Your dad, it's so easy for me to reach out to the second string catcher, the fifth outfielder. Got him a car, no questions asked, and they would help out a little bit. I'll never forget.
Now the rookies today are making so much money, they don't really need you to help them anymore. Right?
No, they don't. But he was always a special
guy
for me. But Mike, I wish you all the best with the club and the vodka, and I hope to see you. I know you'll be there, you know, in the 11th, and I hope to see you before. And say good luck with the team and everything. I appreciate. You know, tell Alicia I said hello. At least you said hi.
I will. You heard my dog, Abby. She's barking around. So
what kind of dog is it, Mike?
It is a golden poodle, but not a French poodle. It's a small, they have them in black. This one's golden. Well, Pepper and Chino, they come.
You be safe, Mike, and I hope to see
all
you
right,
soon.
Guys.
Thank you for your time, my friend.
All right. I'll see you soon. God bless.
Bye. Thanks, Mike. God bless, Mitch.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.